Lord, thank you for today. Thank you that we can come together. Let your word minister to us. Let us have ear to hear and enable us to receive everything that your word can give us. Lord, that we may profit from it, that we may be hearing it, that, Lord, we may be overcoming through it this year in a special way. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I want to, look at a bit around us to try to understand where we at this time, where God wants us to understand what our position should be and not be influenced, not be affected by the things that are going on around us. Okay. In the last 3 years, there have been big changes in the way life is, if we want to recognize it or not. Changes that really, in a way, are kind of not easily irreversible, that they're going to be around for a while. Things may not be getting much better. And I, may not sound a very optimistic view of to start the year. But that is depending the way you look at things. The world probably is not going to get better. There is indications, there is a progression, there is, just simply looking at the way things have evolved. That tells us that quite likely the world is not going to get any better, and there are many things happening that are so parallel with all the prophecies in the Bible that put us in a specific place in the history of the world. If we realize it or not, if we like it or not, whatever, doesn't matter. See, the thing is, everything depends on the way we look at those things. What our position is makes all the difference. Where we have to understand, okay, that, the way the world is, the way we are, the way the church in general is, it's something important to understand so that we can take our position properly. So that we can see not just the problem, but the potential that is there. What God wants to do. Because He, as we shared before, has a plan. And His plan is a good plan. But it's a good plan for those that are in his side. Because not the one that are not in his side is not necessarily a good plan. Because they are not protected. And we are protected. We are more than protected. You see, Jesus' plan, Jesus coming to earth had a purpose. John 10:10 is something that we should never forget. Okay? He said, the thief doesn't come except but to steal and kill and destroy, but I came to so that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. So God's intention, God's plan for us is to have abundant life. Doesn't mean that is what the abundant life that the world thinks. It's much better than that. because they can't have abundant life anyway. No matter how well may appear or they think they are. Okay. But, you know, the problems have nothing to do, are not produced by God, that the world does. No matter what anybody, what religious person say. God cannot, at this time, punish people. Because Jesus has been punished already for everybody. And he cannot put the same punishment twice for the same thing. But the enemy is there to take advantage of the situation that people are not protected. And when he has the right, for one reason or another, he's going to take advantage of it. So it's up to us to make sure that we don't give him any possibility to do anything to us. To be close to God, to be connected with him, to be under the covering of God. You know, the song we sang today tells the story. Okay, Psalm 91 tells the story, who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, if you are under his shadow, that means he is there over you. And nobody can do anything to you. But you have to be in the position, in that place, in the shadow. So this is the thing we have to really remember. Okay. Now, the world is in chaos and is going to continue to be in chaos. And no matter what anybody says, you know, if it's not what's happening now, something else is happening tomorrow. The church is kind of more difficult to understand because there is that's where the confusion comes about. Because there is the Church of Jesus Christ, the church that he built, and there is the physical church that is everybody that calls himself Christian, that are just nominal Christian. And that's not a church, but everybody calls it the church. Just what you call, the label you put on yourself doesn't really make any difference. For God or the devil, is the truth that makes a difference. Okay? Is the truth or your position that makes a difference? Is that what gives you authority, freedom, and everything else that you need? And that's what you have to realize. You know, the fact that, you know, we, the things, that the problems that we experience, the problems that the world experiences is really connected to the operation of the enemy. That's not God's intention for us to do good. Right? There was an intention from the very beginning. That's why he created things. And initially, they were completely different. We messed it up. The world messed it up. Okay? But he still loves the world. And that's the most amazing thing, okay? He says the God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I mean, he loves this mess. He wants to reach out, minister to anybody. That's why we have, you know, otherwise we would have stopped already the whole thing, you know, because, he's more patient than we can ever be. Okay? That's why things are keep going. Okay, now, okay, the point is that if we know him, if we have a relationship with God, if we are connected with Jesus, okay, we are in a different position than anybody else. Okay. We don't need to look at things the way the world looks at things. We can look at things in a completely different way, from a different perspective, because we have inside information, because we have the only reliable information that is available today. The information available today, and for the other, any other source, is completely unreliable. Doesn't matter where it's coming from. Okay? Yes, that doesn't doesn't make any sense anymore. There is no truth, and there is no any, you know, validity in what anybody says. But the only source for us of validity is the Word. The Word gives us a very unchangeable position that doesn't change with what's going on around us. It's always the same, and it's always been the same, and will always be the same. Amen. And he can make it that actually, okay, manifested in our life if we line ourselves up with him. If we allow the truth to work in us, so that we believe the truth, so that we connect with what he has done, and so that we, that reality becomes actually our reality. Okay. And this is why Jesus didn't stop. Okay, the Word has been there all the time from the very beginning. But we have much more than the Word. The Word is essential, but it's not sufficient. Because you need to receive the Word to be effective. And for this reason, Jesus didn't do, you know, nothing. He did something very important. He provided us with the way to connect with the world through the Holy Spirit. See, that makes all the difference. Before it was not that way. Before his coming was not such a thing. Okay? The Holy Spirit was occasionally working on somebody, but if you look at all the thousands of years of history of human race, you know, there are not that many times that, you know, just work sometime only, on only some people. Today, if you are a believer, I mean, a true believer, somebody that put their, his trust in Jesus, and you have received the Holy Spirit, it's a completely different story. You should be connected and you should be informed about things. You should know the truth. You should be able to receive what God has done for you, what Jesus has done for you. And this is, he said it very clearly before he left. In John 16, verse 7, it says there, you know, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, if you have advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. We need the helper. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be connected with him. Okay, and when he ascended, he sent the Holy Spirit back with all the gifts associated with that. He sent gifts to men. Okay, and when we receive the Holy Spirit, that is the Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth put us in contact with reality, with the truth, not the things that necessarily you see with your eyes. But the things that are really true and they are not going to change. Okay? That's why he's really, you know, the one that gives us the accurate information that doesn't change. He enables us to grasp, to understand, to receive the Word so that we can apply it to our life. See, we can read the scriptures and not understand them doesn't do any good. It's not just a question of the sound makes the things. You know, this business of the sound is not really the way it works, because otherwise everybody would read something will get results. You get results when you understand what you are reading and you are believing what you are reading and you are applying what you are reading. You are standing on where the word says. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So, and so when the Spirit of Truth has come, He will guide us into all truth. So, you know, this is, we should not be confused. If you are confused, you are not connected with the Holy Spirit. If you are afraid, you are not connected with the Holy Spirit, because fear is not a fruit of the Spirit. Okay. So if there are one of those things, we have to deal with that so that the source of the separation, of the disconnect, there is dealt with. We should not allow. See, there is a part we play. And this is what is not understood. It's not magic. It's not any, you know, things that people say that you need to, you know, mystical idea. We may go more and more into that. Okay? It's not magic. It's not spells or stuff like that. This is a position you take. The position of your heart determines everything that you get. And you can fool yourself, but really the position of our heart is going to manifest in your life. And so you better learn that that position is nothing else than the result of a decision you make. Where do you stand today? Are you standing in fear of everything that's going to happen next, or are you standing on the rock? You are standing in a place that you know where you stand. You know that he overcame, and that you are an overcoming with him. That he did it, and you can benefit from what he did. No matter what's going on around you, the whole world may collapse, doesn't make any difference. He gives you the ability to overcome and to have victory, because he guides you. Now, for him to guide you, you have to be listening. I mean, you have to believe to start with that he's speaking to you, and you have to believe that he's directing you, guiding you, and you have to receive his direction and do it, being obedient to what he says. That's what makes all the difference. And this is a critical time. And that should be the reason why we should be really excited, instead of afraid or tossed around by every new information that comes from the news. This is a time of transition. It's a time in which an age ends and a new one begins. And we are there just at the line there. Just at the place. See, this is the time of the end of the church. And the manifestation of the children of God. And when I'm talking about the manifestation of the children of God, this is the time when the whole nature has been expecting from the beginning. Now, if we understand that, understand one thing, you know, you can get excited, but the point is you have a part you play in actually be part of that. No, it's not the title that gives it to you that, but it's the position that you have in your heart that enables you to be able to move in that direction. Okay? This is the time in which the fullness of sonship is going to be manifested. Because it has to be. And we are moving in that direction quickly. See, if you can see the changes that are taking place in the world, okay, both in the negative and in the positive in some way, you can see that the pace is accelerating. Things take shorter and shorter to do. That's prophesied too. I'm not going to quote you all the prophecies I'm referring to, because it would take too much time and we are going to get nowhere. But I'm going to just, you know, announce some of them, you know, so that we look and see where we are and understand what is involved for us, what is our part, the part that we play, because God parts, he has done it, and he is intervening to the degree that he has to intervene. The enemy is certainly doing his part. Okay? It doesn't need to be convinced. He does it naturally. Okay, so he's doing the thing, and so, but doesn't affect us if we really are in the truth and we know that we have victory. We don't let him push us around, because we have authority over all the forces of darkness. Okay? That's what Jesus said. That's his authority, and he's giving it to us. Okay? We have to understand some things about that, and I'm not going to go into that today, but there are areas in which we can operate and be much more effective than other areas. We have to understand that, because that is going to help us enormously not to waste time and energy in things that are not going to be productive. I'm not going to go into that for now. But what I'm going to just say, okay, that we have to understand that, you know, the atmosphere around, where the world sees, the way the world reacts, don't let yourself influence by that. People are tired, confused, desperate. So they lack direction because there is no leadership. You know, that doesn't matter. Things are changing so fast that you don't even have time to keep up with it. Okay? And you can trust anybody. Media, governments, science, even religious leaders. Every day they change story. What they said today is not going to be valid anymore tomorrow. And so it doesn't mean anything. See, the word doesn't change. The word of God does not change. And so you can have a stable ground in which you are not moving. Okay? You know, talking about economic situation, environment, it's a mess. I mean, you know, with the economic manipulation that they try to fix stuff, the only thing they do, it makes it worse. So they have no solution. The world has no solution for the mess that they are in. Okay? That makes Satan really happy. But he's lost anyway. Okay? Now, there are wars, rumor of wars and everything else. And just read chapter 24 of the book of Matthew and just give you the whole story that is all right there. Okay? So, when Jesus warned us, and I'm going to read some scripture that he said, you know, that should be relevant. They should, see, the Bible gives prophecies about bad things that are going to be happening. But they are not given to us so that we get afraid or get confused or get fearful in general. He gives it to us so that we know what's going to happen and we can prepare ourselves and we can know what to do. This is the reason why the information is given to us. We can prepare ourselves for these things so that when these things happen, you know, we know how to handle it without being tossed around. All right? In Matthew 24:4 says, and Jesus answered to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and I will deceive many. You know, the idea here is that, and when I say I'm the Christ, I mean the one who can fix the problem, both religiously, politically, physically, economically, whatever, climate, another story. You know, all these things, okay, he should not affect us. And we should not be deceived that there is a solution in the world, or there is a solution that is different from him. Okay. Continue verse 6. Okay. It is talking about people not to be, you know, believers not to be deceived, not the world. The world can be deceived, doesn't matter. You know, they cannot do anything. Anymore. We shouldn't be deceived. Okay. And you shall hear wars and rumor of wars, and see that you are not troubled. For all those things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So that's one of the things we have to realize. For nations will rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrow. You know, the sorrow things, the word there, sorrow, is the word Odin in Greek, which actually means the spasms or pain of birth. Okay, the travail of a woman having birth. So, and this is a characteristics about that. Okay, number one, they start slowly, and then they speed up, they increase frequency, not only up, but they increase it in intensity. And this is really what you can see in the world today. There is a speed up, one thing after another, and there is a move. They get worse and worse and worse. So don't think, you know, that in some magical way the world is going to be fixed. The world cannot be fixed because that's the direction it's taking. Unless God chooses to change it and said, no, it's no time yet, so I'm going to fix up things a bit so that we can keep going. But that doesn't, you know, sooner or later this is going to happen. And we better prepare right away because this is something that is important. Now, later on, in verse 24 of the Matthew 24, it says, for false Christ and false prophets will rise in this and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, this is a bit of a something that it's interesting because it says, you know, if possible, number one. Second, you know, I don't like the translation from King James of this part because it says, even, you know, deceive the very elect. There is the very elect, the word very there is probably badly translated, not probably, really badly translated. Because it doesn't say the very elect, it says even the elect, if possible. That means the is not possible and they're not going to be deceived. Hello? The elect are not going to be deceived, but they have to be elect. And when it's the eklektos, that actually, you know, part, it means, you know, that the one that are part of the church. Ecclesia is the same root of eklektos, which is really, is not something that are special. It's somebody they should know. Okay? Not to be deceived, you had to know the truth. And you choose to believe the truth rather than the lies that are going around. Are you following me? So you have to be part already of the process. And that, but the fact that you know the truth is going to keep you from being deceived. Because you are going to see through the lies that are going around and around you and the deception that takes place. And so there are not, you know, false Christ and false prophets. But the interesting thing is, it says, you know, they are going to deceive you with great signs and wonders. So there is going to be even some supernatural manifestations to try to deceive people. And for people to be able not to be sucked in or to be confused by that is that they had to be able to discern that these are not coming from God, are coming from the enemy. The point is, how is it going to happen that people can discern that? And the word actually tells exactly how that's going to happen. Okay. See, the word gives us all the information that we need. let me see. If you go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, says there, verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transform themselves into apostles of Christ. So transform, the word that takes in, you know, first of all, they're false apostles. So they, you know, if they're false apostles, that means that they're people in the church, at least the nominal church, because evidently they are not part of the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay, so they are false apostles. They are not apostles. But evidently they call themselves apostles. Okay. Now there's a lot of that going on. It says here, they will transform themselves into angel of light. Okay, apostle of Christ, okay. And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great things if his ministers are transformed themselves into minister of righteousness whose end will be according to their works. So the idea is saying here that these people are working for the enemy, not for God. Even if they have the old appearance of being with God, or they show, they call themselves apostle, they probably are preaching, they are ministers, talk about being minister. So there are all these evidences and shows that they, this is the time we are talking about now. Huh? That's what he's talking about here. The time in which we are moving toward the end of this, the period of the church. Okay? And these people, you know, the word transform is not metamorphosis the way it is, for example, that we are transformed by the word. Okay? He made us schemazo, which actually means they are disguising themselves as angels of light. So it's something that they do themselves. There is a disguise. There is a making themselves appear in a certain way that they are not. Okay? The point is, you know, these people, as I said before, they are even, you know, they're going to be even doing great signs and wonders. Evidently, they are not doing it through God, they are going to do it through the enemy, because it's talking about being, you know, used by him right here in the scripture I just finished reading. Okay, so how are we going to find out how we can be, you know, able to recognize this? Can we? And the answer is yes. It's very clear. Is explained simply and evidently in the word so that we can know exactly where we stand. Okay. We have been going through a series of teaching in the last little while in which we had discussed some topics that are relevant to this. And I didn't know I was going to talk about this today. Okay. But it's talking about the difference between the flesh and the spirit. Understanding the difference between the flesh and the spirit, the impact that that has on our position and our ability to connect with God is essential. Okay. we, in a way, by the things we had done, we kind of prepare to be able to pinpoint exactly what is the difference, how we can determine what is what. Okay? You know, in this situation has been there all the time. It's not something new. But as time gets closer to the to where we are at, you know, it's speeding up, it's becoming more evident, it's becoming stronger, it's becoming more and more. Okay? And when I was in the 80s, I noticed one thing that really bothered me in my spirit. I noticed something was penetrating in the church and people did not realize what was happening. Okay. There is a fine line between the truth and the lie. Okay. many pastors, many ministers were frustrated because of the lack of power and manifestations of the Spirit of God that they had in their life and their ministry. And so they started looking for power and for manifestations without realizing that that's not something we should be looking for, but we should be looking for holiness and connecting with God. The other ones are going to be his job, not ours. Are you following what I'm saying? We cannot force spiritual things from happening for with our own flesh. The only way that we can do when we do that, get ourselves in trouble and get connected with demons. But at that time, in the 80s, late 80s, that started to happen in an increasing amount. And nobody could discern it. I had discussions with other ministers. I mean, not full Pentecostal, full gospel ministers. They didn't see it. And that has increased with time. It got worse and worse. Because the teaching that were based on seeking for the power instead of seeking for the holiness and transformation in ourselves produced the negative results and not the positive ones. Oh, you got results, you got manifestation, but weren't godly. Weren't God. Were provided by other things. But by the fact that when we seek things, you see, this problem has been there all the time throughout the history of the church, okay? So it's nothing new. It's just now this accelerated because it's spread and is becoming affecting lots of people. Okay? And the fact is they are blind, you know, they end up blind leading the blind. Okay? We shouldn't be trying to get more power. We should try to get holiness. We should try to get connected with God. because he is the one that cares, and he was the one that wants to do these things. But we have no control. We have to understand that our attitude, our position is critical for us to be connected with God. When we are connected with God, he knows what he's doing. And we know what we are doing, because we have the direction that we need. You see, let me finish reading this part, because this is a critical point. When we understand what I'm saying, you know, there is no question anymore about, you may not have all the information, but you're going to be able to pinpoint things so clearly, the way Jesus did. I mean, it seems almost too much, but that's the way the word says. Okay, says, you know, these people, they were transformed themselves, you know, to as angel of light. Therefore, you know, okay, we continue, verse 15, all right. We come later. Let me... There is a tendency, today especially, that people appoint themselves to spiritual positions. The fivefold ministry is not a question of us choosing to be something, or somebody ordaining us to do something. This is a gift that Jesus gives to the church. That is a ministry, that is a gift, one of the gifts that Jesus gives to the church, gives the gift of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. But, you know, he gives apostle and prophet and so on and all the others. It's not something that, you know, I like to be a prophet. Now I'm going to go to a meeting and they're going to lay hands on me and they're going to be imparted unto me. Baloney, you were ordained to that from the beginning of the world. There is no choice of yours. You had to be what God made you, not what you want to be, because you want to be, because you want to be important. See, that's the problem. I mean, people like labels. That is flesh, is not spirit. You know, the label is not a title that you have. It's the ministry that you have. And somebody recognizes it or not doesn't make any difference whatsoever. What counts is who you are, who God made you to be. And you just are nothing anyway, because it's him working through you. So there is nothing to go around feeling important because you have the title. You don't even have the title, you don't want the title. Are you listening to what they say? Do you see? We need to understand, okay, that as if we operate in according to fleshy desire, God cannot work through us. We have to allow the Spirit of God to take over and to do what he wants to do with us. And this is what makes all the difference. That's what enables us. You see, it's the battle between the two kingdoms that takes place, even in the physical. It's a spiritual battle, and it's a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Everything comes as a result of that clash, or that fight, okay? If we... to perceive things in the spirit, you had to be born of God. If you are not born of God, you cannot perceive things in the spirit. That's what the word says. I'm trying to condense stuff because this is a long topic, and I think I should try to summarize some more here. Okay. Jesus said, you know, unless in John chapter 3, verse John 1, 12, okay. But as many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Okay, so that's where he's starting from. Okay, so you have to receive him. I mean, and receive him, you know, it's just condense a lot of information there, but essentially you trust in him, you depend on him, you know, he's not just a religious activity. This is a spiritual transformation that takes place. You become a child of God. You know, what does it mean to become a child of God? That's the big question. Well, the following verse give us the answer. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Okay, the key things here, the difference between the two. One is born of the will of the man, and that means, you know, when the Bible talks about somebody being son of somebody else, that means that your will is the same of that person. If you are a son of God, you have the will of God in your life. If you are the son of Satan, you have the will of Satan in your life. That's what he said, Jesus said all the time to the Pharisees. You are the children of Satan. So, really, the will that we have inside, what we want, determine what we really are. Are you listening to what I'm saying? What we want determines whose children are we. Are of God? Or of Satan? Or instead of Satan, of man? Because man is under Satan anyway, because he gave us his prerogative of being connected with God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So really what we want deeply inside us is, do we want to magnify ourselves? Do we want to make ourselves a position? Do we are trying to do something, you know, according to the glorify ourselves, or are we trying to glorify God? Is our will line up with God's will, or our will is line up with what we really want, that we really is dependent on the enemy? Are you still with me? See, that shows the difference between the children of God and the children of man, or the children of the enemy. Okay, so what boils down to is what our will is that determines which side we are in. Now, Jesus said something very important. I'm going to just not to follow my notes. I just to kind of summarize here. And I'm going to expand on this more. Well, Jesus said, you know, I only do what I see my Father doing. My, you know, judgment as righteous judgment. You see, if he only does what does, you know, his will is lined up with the will of the Father. My will be done, not yours. Okay? No, your will be done, not mine. But that's what the world will say. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. So, you know, I want to get to the point here. And I'm going to skip lots of stuff. But in 1 Corinthians, okay, chapter 2 talks about the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man. The only way to be a spiritual person is to be born of the Spirit. There is no other way. Okay? So if there is no other way, unless you are born again, you cannot be a spiritual person. And if you are born again, the evidence that you are born again is that your will is the Father's will. If your will is not the Father's will, and you are after other things, you are a fleshy person, you are born of the flesh, not of the Spirit. Okay? So, at the end of that chapter, it says, you know, but we have the mind of Christ. Okay? Is that so? Well, if you are born again, you have the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? I said it before. Not my will, your will. That shows which side you are in. Are you trying to build up your ministry or God's ministry? Are you trying to make you money or, work for the kingdom? All the things are provided to you when you are open to the Spirit of God and He guides you and He takes care of you. Are you following what I'm saying? See, that's the way the world works. That's the way we should work. We should have the mind of Christ. We should have the will of the Father. As we have the will of the Father, He's going to work through us. We are not going to need to go and look for power, for things, because automatically we have connected. We are connected with Him. We represent Him because we are His representative, the one that bring about the message and the will, and everything that we do is to satisfy what the Father wants, not ourselves. It's not the flesh, it's the Spirit. That is where the battle is. The battle is between the flesh and the Spirit. And that's the decision we had to make. And the fact that we are born again, we can lose our will to line up with the Father if we chose to do something else, because God has given us free will. Even Jesus has to decide when he was at Gethsemane that if he wanted to go and follow in the will of the Father or his own will. And he chose the will of the Father. Your will be done, not mine. Okay, so that is the mind of Christ. This is what a real believer should experience. That's what a born-again believer should be like. This is why I say all things are of God. Are you still with me? So this is so important for us to understand, because that makes a difference. And this is what releases the power of God inside us. It's not trying to get power. You know the way in the 70s people started to get power? Through mysticism. Now, mysticism involves prayer, involves meditation, involves chanting, is one of that, but it's not, mysticism is nothing else than a method to try to manipulate the spiritual dimension to be able to get the things you want. And this is not Christianity. But if you read many books today of people that are so called to be prophets and so on, they quote mystics of the Middle Ages or the past, Catholic mystics of the past, making them their source. What's wrong with them? They don't know that is from the enemy. Supposedly they should have an understanding. But this is so commonly, so spread today, that you wouldn't believe it. I don't generally read too many books from people like that, but Recently, I actually read some because I need to be informed about what's going on in the world, you know, in the, especially in the church, and I couldn't believe it, how widespread that kind of an approach is. And somebody has to talk about it, because that's the deception of the false prophets and the false apostles that he was talking about in Jesus in the book of Matthew, chapter 24. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so now is a time in which God actually wants to manifest the children of God with the power that they should be there, because, they are cleaning themselves up and they are prepared to recognize the things. See, now revelation is much better than there was before at the same time, because people weren't talking about, you know. Now, I happen to have looked at that because there was a school that was to have in churches that you could use to instruct people. And so I bought the books, I read them, and I found out, wait a minute, there is a problem. I brought it up to the others, nobody could see it. Today, if people don't see it, they are blind because they have been so deceived that they got off completely a tangent. And then, you know, the thing is, these things, that's the way it happened little by little. And after you are too much in it to be able to recognize it, because you have been brainwashed into wrong, bringing the deception has been deeply inside, rooted you. Anyway, I'll close for now today. And I want to just mention to you, okay, one important thing that we need to realize. Our will has to be the will of the Father. Okay? Our job is to do His work. That's all. Everything else, if we try to do our own thing, we end up missing the boat. We end up disobeying, actually not giving Him glory. We are trying to get glory ourselves. And that misses completely the purpose. You know, that put us in the flesh rather than in the spirit, and we lose. See, the thing is, the problem is, I believe that many of these so-called false prophets and false apostles, they don't even know they're wrong. That's the saddest thing. Because they've been so brainwashed, little by little. You see the way it works with the frog that cooks into the pot of water. You know, you put it there, you raise up the temperature a bit at the time. After a while, it doesn't realize it, but it's cooked. Okay? That's the way it happens spiritually. This is why the word says one important thing. Okay? Separate yourself from unclean things. Because this is why in the Old Testament, when there was not a spirit, they had to kill everybody that wasn't believing the same thing. Now we don't need to do that, but we had to make sure that we are not influenced by them, but do the other way around, influence them. Okay. I think I should close because I'm far beyond the time that I have to close. This is the time in which actually there's going to be a manifestation of the power of God that is going to be beyond is anything that we can ever imagine, because the truth is going to be revealed. And there are plenty of scriptures showing that. And it's not something that we do ourselves or we work ourselves. It's just something that happens on the spiritual dimension, and then there is evidence in the physical. Okay? That's Jesus, for example, when he was saying somebody says, well, I'm this or the other thing. Jesus said, you know, I am the Son of God. I'm the Messiah. But the point is, what he said wasn't the issue. Really, what is critical for us, and it's actually, is not what he said only, it was actually proclaimed by his resurrection. See, that's the final proof in the physical of what he was saying in the spiritual, not just the miracles he was doing. Romans says that. Okay. So the idea that he was the Messiah is that actually he was resurrected from the dead. And so that proves everything that he did in his ministry. It's the same thing for what we do. What we do is not what we say, it's what we really are. And with that, we're closing in prayer.